At this time we come to the New Testament reading for this evening, which is found in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read the entirety of this chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And I remind you again, this is the word of our God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The book of Ephesians begins in its opening chapters to speak about the facts of the gospel, what God has done. And then in the latter chapters, especially to exhort us or command us based upon that gospel. This is what has been called by some the indicative and imperative structure of Scripture. Indicative, God gives statements revealing who he is and what he has done. And then the imperative, whereby he commands us and exhorts us, in light of who he is and what he has done, to obey him. It is the same thing as saying we love him because he first loved us. He loved us, and then he commands us to love him. And so we are here in the imperative portion of Ephesians, where we are told how we may respond in love to our God. And we begin with a few pairs of relationships or people, children and fathers in particular. Children are exhorted, if they love Christ, to obey their parents. And then likewise, fathers in particular are exhorted not to provoke their children to wrath, giving them harsh and unduly overbearing type of commandments, but they are rather to raise them in the training and admonition of the Lord. There is, you see, information and commands for both sides of the relationship. There always are. And sometimes, as one minister put it, we tend to open the other side's mail. So when we have mail to our wives, we listen carefully and we tell them what they need to be doing. But then when there's mail for us, We don't listen quite as carefully. But here, the children are to listen to their part, and the fathers to their part. And the same with bondservants and masters. Slaves are not in an enviable position. They're in a difficult position. But they are to remember that God is really their master, and they're to serve God in whatever position He has put them in. And masters are to remember that they also have a master, and they are to serve Him and fear Him, recognizing that they will be judged by Him. Whatever happens on this earth, whatever they can get away with, it is God who will finally judge them. And then we come to the armor of God as well, and here we are reminded that there is a spiritual battle that is constantly going on. As our confession puts it, it is continual and irreconcilable. We are in a continual battle. It is never ended. We are never free to take off the armor. We are always under attack. And it is not reconcilable. There is no peace. There are no coming to terms with the world, the flesh, and the devil. As John Owen said, you are either killing sin or it is killing you. And those are the alternatives, and there are no others. And so we are to look to God and His means of grace in particular to fight this battle. That's one of the reasons why we're here this evening. We are looking to God and to His worship, to His word, to prayer, to singing, that we might stand against the wiles of the devil, who has had many, many years and tremendous insight into man, that he can have very clever ways of tempting us. And so we rely upon God and His means to withstand him. And the passage concludes with this show of mutual love one to another. Paul recognizes that the people of Ephesus love him, and so he sends them Tychicus, that Tychicus may tell them about how Paul is doing. And of course, Paul loves them as well, and that is why he is writing to them and showing his affection to them. And he ends in with this great blessing: grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace is to be given to those who love Christ. And again, is that not why we are here? We love Christ, and we therefore desire to receive His grace and His mercy, and so we have come to worship Him. That's why we're here, and that's what this passage teaches us that God will give to us. With that in view, let us go now to the Lord in prayer. O Lord our God, as we come to You, we recognize that You are the God over all things. Your glory and Your train fills the heavens. You are surrounded by angelic beings who constantly offer You praise and worship, and even cover their eyes and their feet in Your holy presence. How then can we dare to approach You, the God before whom mountains tremble and melt? We come in Christ, Lord. We come as those who understand the indicatives of the gospel that You have given Christ, and He has laid down His life for us. And therefore, in Him and through Him, we come to You and we ask that You would accept us and receive our worship. Forgive us our sins, Lord, even the sins of this day, the false thoughts we have had, the sinful motives that we have hid from others. Grant us, O Lord, that we be cleansed from these sins. And we pray that we would know Your love and therefore respond to You in love. And in whatever position You have put us in, that You would be merciful to us, and grant that we might serve You diligently and serve others as well, according to the place that You have put us. We ask that You would continue to bless us in this worship, that You would indwell us richly by Your word and by Your spirit. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.